Whenever there is a complaint registered, a complaint, it's, you know, complaining. Most complaints are never backed up with any action. It's just complaining. No action. They just complain. But I know, I asked that rhetorical question. Why do these, this august body of the Family Church School, especially in Deacon Sneed's class, I know there are no complainers here. You know, I just can't believe that there are any complainers, because they all raised their hand. They all said, God is good. We're just like the children of Israel. We find ourselves complaining about that which does not please us. Whenever we are distressed, wherever we are displeased, we find ourselves doing the exact thing that the Israelites did. Let me share something with you about the Israelites. You guys already know. You know they went to Egypt. You know they were enslaved for 400 years. You know that they went to Egypt with just 70 people and left with over 2 million. You know that their miraculous exit from bondage and slavery as they passed over the Red Sea. You know that God took them in this trek in the desert, and he's taken them from Egypt to Mount Sinai. And as now, as we approach this lesson today, they're moving from Mount Sinai to Kadesh. You know that God has given them some order, some law to live by. And, you know, he's given them various explanations of this law, that their orthodoxy would match their orthopraxy. And he's done so much for them. And he gave them, Sister Davis, shoes that even though they've been on this long trek, those shoes, those sandals did not wear out. You know, he's been providing for them. He's met their needs. He's been a cloud of glory that has guided them when they did not know where they're going. He has displayed his holiness. He has shown the penalties for violating our holiness, his righteousness. But yet still today, after a visit from Sinai, after continuing on in a journey, they start complaining. And as a parent, I'm quite sure there are some parents on the call this morning that one of the most frustrating things in the world is to have a child that you feeding, clothing, taking care of, loving, encouraging, praying for, but they are complaining. Can you imagine how you feel when that happens? Can you imagine? But I know none of you. You've got excellent children. You don't have children that complain. Because see, the thing about it, I know that all of y'all are good. See, y'all are good. Y'all are good parents. Right, Sister Gwen? Right, Sister Gwen Thompson? Y'all all good. Yeah. Sarah, she would shake her head. Oh, yeah, my mom's good. My daddy is good. I got it made in the shade. But I would imagine there are times when Sister Gwen can find that Sarah is complaining. I know it's been my experience. What a sad commentary. Because if you're good as a parent, why should your children ever complain? But in the scripture, it says that God is very good. faithfulness is forever. That means that you can count on God when you can't count on your mama. You can count on God when you can't count on your daddy. You can count on God when you can't count on your best friend. You can count on God because he's good and he's faithful. But yet we find that he has done all of this for the children of Israel, and they complain. And in the first few verses there, verse 1-3, we find, Sister Cora, that God said, I'm going to give you something to complain about. Y'all know, y'all were raised by some of them grandmamas and mamas that said the same thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, you want to cry and complain? I'm giving you something to cry and complain about. Take this, bow. Take this fire. Oh, Lord, please stop the fire. Stop the fire. Lord God, we were just kidding. You know, please stop the fire. Moses, go talk to God and tell God to put this fire out. And then they went back to complaining. The more he does for us, the more he shows his love for us, the more we complain. So I think I've got a right to ask the question, why do we complain? Well, with the help of the Holy Spirit, this morning, we're going to try and find out. Sister Randall, would you open up the script and read verses 4, 5, and 6? Because y'all got to get out on time today. Otherwise, there'll be a complaint against Brother Sneed. And I don't want no complaints, okay? All right. 4, 5, and 6.
And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the flesh, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes.
Notice that in verse 4, again, this mixed multitude comes in. Don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but it is further evidence that folk, you cannot marry folk. You cannot enter in a holy relationship with folk that don't share the same common core of experience, the same value. And when we talk about unequally yoked, we're not talking about ethnicity. Get that out of your mind. We are talking about folk who don't share the same God. And I'll tell you, those of you who've been married any days or not know that if you did do so, it's a struggle. It's a bigger struggle. Marriage, it is rudimentary elements, is a struggle. It's a conflict between two lost souls trying to decide which one. The issue is all, who's going to subdue who? Who's going to submit to who? Marriage is a struggle. So you don't want to marry a folk that you're not unequally yoked, that you're not equally yoked with. Here we have a group that left Egypt with them. Some of them, yes, they had Egyptian fathers. Some of them were just Egyptians who were trying to avoid the slavery, the punishment of slavery themselves, who they didn't embrace totally the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. They worship many gods. And so the complaining started amongst. And you will find, even as parents, have you ever noticed that you never hear your children say anything, but as soon as they get with a crowd of other kids, or they've been with a crowd of other kids, Sister Joyce, they come back home with that mess. Well, Susie said, Jonathan and them, they do such and such. Oh, where do you learn how to complain? I thought everything was good in your household. Oh, I'm going to give you something to complain about. First of all, you are not going to hang around them spiritual thugs anymore. You grounded for a week. you don't need to be around them, because children in my house don't complain. See, and that's what the fire was all about. God sent that fire down. They got to lusting for the things of the world and not things of God. And that's what happens even in our churches today, Brother Davis. We've got a whole bunch of folk who treat the church as a country club, Steve Harmon. Steve Harmon, they teach it as they think this is their social club. This is their social outlet. They like the fellowship. They don't like the discipleship. And as soon as something's not going their way, as soon as you get too pushy on them, as soon as you want them to come to more than one class, as soon as you want them to practice spiritual disciplines, they'll start complaining. You ain't good no more. Or that church, all they want. That, as soon as you ask them to give above the tithe, that church is all about the money. Mixed multitude, they don't share the same faith. And they will corrupt the folk that love God, that know that God, that just as Sister Vanessa read, that God is good and that his faithfulness is forever. But that's what the devil does. He this mixed multitude, these people that are unequally yoked, they come in and they stir up trouble. And before you know it, the whole congregation. But then what they'll have you do is their method, Brother Davis. They want to remind you of something that you had when you were in Egypt. See, because, and they're very good at it because they are still there mentally. There are folk that are in the church every day, sing songs with you, sit on the same pew with you, intervene on the same Zoom call as you, but you know what? All they're doing is fellowshipping. They don't have the same agenda. And they are always reminded of what they did last night. See, because they're half in anyway. They only come to church on Sunday. Worship, praise to God, magnifying God, Monday through Saturday, that don't matter. But Sunday, they show up. And then they complain and they remind you, you know, hey, when we were in Egypt, we used to have fish. We used to have melons. We used to have cucumbers. You know, we had onions. But all we got since we've been over here is manna. But you know what? In that complaint, there is such ingratitude. And typically, most complaints are, you're not grateful when you complain and you say you got a good God. You are not grateful when you have a set of parents that you say these are the best parents in the world. You complain. That's you're not being grateful. And what you want to do is you want to remember how things used to be for some of us old timers. You know, you want to go back. Huh? It was the good old day. Well, you're only remembering the good things about them good old days. But if you really look back in true retrospect, them were some bad old days. Them some days when you were in bondage. Those are some days when people whipped you. Those are some days when You trample mud, making a stone cement for the building of the pyramids, so your feet were raw, till your strength was withered. You know, you're forgetting about those days. You're having a momentary cognitive dysfunction because you're remembering only the good things about them bad old days. And so it is today. We have the same thing in the society today. The American society is that way. Greatest nation in the world. One minute, the next minute, oh, we got to change this. We got to do this. It is so bad. Remember the good old, make America great again. What's so great about it in the past? That is not now. because we use it to complain about things we don't like right now. But if God is good, why do you complain? Because we let a lot of folk who don't really understand and appreciate that God is good sway us into murmuring and complaining. Sister Rhonda, verse 10.
Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased.
Let me remind you, God hears your murmuring. He hears your complaining. And you know what? It ticks him off. You know why? Because he's good and he's righteous and he's faithful in every way. And Moses, your leaders, they hear you. They hear your complaint. Pastor Brown gets all those complaints because, you know, you tell one person, you tell another one, you know, they nobody subscribes to the theory that the only way you can keep a secret is that the only way three people can keep a secret is that two of them are dead. Because everybody's got to tell somebody, they got to tell. So it's going to get back to her. It got back to Moses. It bothered Moses. He heard it himself. He began to hear it now in his ear. God was angry. Moses was displeased. And that word, don't let that word displease fool you there. As a matter of fact, it's the same word in the Hebrew that means broken. Moses was hurt. Verse 11 and 12, right quick, Sister Randall.
And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight? That thou layest the burden of all this people upon me.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? And thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beneath the suckling child unto the land which thou sweareth unto their fathers.
Listen, the reason why you don't want to complain is because you may cause your leader to complain. These people are complaining, Sister Ethel. And now Moses goes, and you know what he does? He prays. He talks to God. And let me tell you one thing. When you got a whole bunch of complaining people around you, it'll put you on your knees. Anybody been married more than 2 days know that. When you got a bunch of complaining folk around you, it'll teach you to pray. You ain't got to worry about, I don't know how to pray. Tell you what, get a bunch of complaining people around you. But be careful that you don't fall into the same trap that they fell into. Because Moses talks to God. And did you hear the prayer? Did Sister Randall? Did Dr. Randall pray that? Read that right? Because here's what I heard. I heard that Moses, he's so distraught, he begins to ask question God. God, why have you laid all this on me? You act like I bore these people in the world. I can see these people. You act like I got to carry these people around in my bosom, and I'm hearing them whining and complain. He said, I can conceive these people. I ain't carrying them around like no baby. Where am I going to get the meat that they want? They're complaining about manna. Have you seen a hungry day? Have you seen a hungry day? And you're going to complain about what you're eating? How ungrateful. You could have had nothing. Your stomach could be growling at you right now. Instead of you growling at God, complaining to God, your stomach could be growling. But God sent manna from heaven. I call them greasy cakes. Sister Davis sent greasy cakes every day. And they ate. And did they ever think about the fact that they had shoes on their feet, that they've been walking around in the desert? Normally, those shoes last them a couple of weeks or a couple of months, Fred. But here, months, years into the desert, they got shoes that did not wear out. That's how good God is. That's how faithful God has been. But yet you complaining because you don't like the menu. That's just like if you hungry. You know you hungry. You're hungry and you're broke. You're so broke you can't even pay attention. You can't buy nothing. You can't even buy a biscuit on a half shell. You broke. And Sister Davis sends over from the garden, from the Wellspring Resurrection and Cibolo City Garden, she sends you some okra and some peas. And you say, I don't like no okra. I don't like no peas. You're a complainer. But yet you're going to go to her. You don't call her up the next day and say, you know, Sister Davis, you know, I've been hungry and you haven't sent me over any caviar. You haven't sent me steak. Wait a minute. Do you want to fill your gut? Or do you want to eat the most exclusive, high-end meal? A lot of us are the same way. God has blessed you. You're looking fine. You're driving fine. You're eating fine. But yet you're complaining. Got everything that God, that you've asked God for. God meet a need. He's met the need. And because he didn't do it the way you want it done. You know, when you pray for transportation. And now that you got a you-go, you mad. I know him, right? But if you wanted SUV, ask for an SUV. You ask for transportation. Don't complain. Verse 13 reads like this. When should I have flesh to give unto all the people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. Verse 14. I want y'all to hear this. I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. You're complaining, Deacon Harmon. You're complaining, Sister Hollis. You're complaining, Sister Joyce, Brother Fred, Brother Bogan. You're complaining, Kenneth Ramsey. You're complaining, Bobby Key, has caused me to go to God and say, God, I just can't handle these people. I can't meet their needs. Well, first of all, God never asked you or me to meet each other's needs. It says that our God will supply all of our needs, that our God, God is the supplier, is the meter of needs. And now Moses has taken on, he's complaining about something that God has not asked him to do. See, you working your fool self to death in the church, doing stuff that you ain't supposed to do. God ain't asked you to do that. You're just doing it. You got the energy, you want to do it. Well, when you start something, you got to keep it up. Oh, Deacon Harmon, I'm talking to my deacons now. I'm talking to my deacons now. Don't start out one way with a member and then want to change on them. God ain't asked you to do that. God has ordained you for a specific purpose and it's clearly outlined. And now because the people are complaining, because Ramsey is complaining, because Monty is complaining, and because Ethel is just ain't saying nothing. She's just sitting up there saying, yeah, y'all do whatever y'all want to do. But see, Ethel know that the Lord been good to her. She ain't about to complain about nothing. She, y'all go on and complain. But I'm not, they ain't going to come back with a report and say I was a part of that group that was complaining that led Ram Brown to go to the Lord and say, I can't handle these folk down at Resurrection. Because that's what Moses said. And there's a penalty, ladies and gentlemen, for complaining. Before I tell you how God dealt with it, let me tell you how grandmama used to deal with it. We call it gamma. Been good to you. Oh, I need some money. I need 75 cents to get into the game tonight and get some popcorn. Son, ain't got no 75 cents. You just gonna have to wait till you make the team and you're playing and you'll see all the games. But I ain't got 75 cents right now. I've been so good. I get good grades. I do what you tell me to do. I do my chores. Yeah. Oh, is that a complaint? I'll tell you what, I give you something to complain about. Not only will I not give you the 75 cents, if somebody else gives you the 75 cents, you ain't going. That's how grandma dealt with it. And says, from now on, you relieve of those things that you think that you were doing as a favor for me, you don't have to do it. But if you don't do it, whatever the consequences are, they are. Here's how God dealt with it. Sister Randall, verse 15 and 16.
And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of the hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness.
Mm-hmm. 16.
And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee.
See, I know y'all thought a lot of Moses. And I know y'all thought a lot of Deacon Smith. Y'all thought he was always compliant. He always did. You know, he didn't complain to grandmama and all of that. But guess what? Moses complained to the point. Do you know what Moses said? Moses said, you must be trying to kill me. And if you ain't, go on and kill me because I don't want to do this. Look at God, because Sister Vanessa read, God is not only good, he's faithful. God said, Moses, okay, I heard your complaint. Here's what I'm doing. In other words, Moses just told God that God is not doing his job. Yeah, y'all go back and read the script. I didn't want to dwell that too far. Because just like when I wouldn't tell grandmama to her face that she was doing her job and taking care of me, I wasn't about to tell y'all that Moses was telling God that he's not doing his job. God, notice God ain't waxed angry. God said, okay, Moses, get together 70 people and I'm going to give you some help. Since you are unable to bear all of this that's below, above you, I'm going to give you some help. Verse 18.
And say thou unto the people.
I'm sorry, 17 and 18.
And I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the spirit which is upon thee and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you flesh and ye shall eat.
Here, look at what God does. God says, I'm going to give you some help. I'm going to give you some help. And he says, I'm going to meet the needs of the people. But you know what, Moses? God just told you something. God just told you two things. It never was your job to get to meet their needs. That's always been my job. Your job was to lead these people. And it's quite evident by their complaining and whining that you have not done your job. So I'm going to give you some help. Folk, let me tell you one thing. This is such a powerful piece of scripture here. I really wish I had some time to deal with you, because there's a penalty for complaining, and it's found right there. You know what the penalty is, Deacon Harmon? You get fired. Jesus, God fired Moses right here. And let me show you how he did it. He says, ye shall not eat one day or 2 days or 5 days or even 10 days nor 20 days. He says, and that's verse 19, but in verse 17, he says, I'm going to come down. I'm going to talk to you. And some of the anointing that I've put on you, Moses, the anointing that I put on you to lead these people, and your anointing is all you needed, I'm going to take the 70 people and I'm going to disperse that anointing, that spirit, that power, that authority. You're going to have to share it now with 70 other people. Oh, Bogan, let me tell you, this was a firing. Moses got fired. He says, bring in the 70. I'm going to give them the power to do, to lead these people, which is what it's for. But meanwhile, they will eat. He says, matter of fact, they're going to eat so much, they're going to have meat coming out of their nostrils. Did y'all hear God? God says, I teach you to complain. You want to complain? You want some shrimp? Take these shrimp. You want some fish? Take these fish. If you want some steak, take this steak. Eat it. You better chew every bit of it. You know, you're going to be chewing steak. You're going to be eating okra. You're going to be eating black-eyed peas. You're going to eat a lamb chop. You're going to have steak. You're going to have whatever you eat, whatever flesh you want. Not only just for the day. I'm going to give you more than you ever thought you could have. It's going to be coming out of your nostrils. You're going to be sick of it. You'll come to me with another complaint and say, hey, Lord, can you hold up? You know, hey. Because it's our nature to complain. Whenever we feel uncomfortable, we complain. Whenever we feel tired, whenever we're displeased, we complain. But God is good, even when you are uncomfortable. If you didn't have nothing on your breakfast table this morning, God is still good. Because God meets every need. His nature is good, the essence of who he is. He can't be who he is if he's not good. We ought to be thankful for what we have. I'll speak to you couples. Look at each other. Be thankful. You don't ever want to complain about what you got. Because what you got is a gift. And you know what? You don't ever complain what you don't have. Because you have a Father in heaven that will meet the need of everything you don't have, every lack that you don't have. And there's a penalty for complaining. Verse 20 says, but even a whole month until it come out of your nostrils, it'll be loathsome in you, because that ye have despised the Lord, which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people among who I am, 600,000 footmen, thou hast said, I will give them meat, and they may eat the whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice? Will that suffice? In other words, what does God have to keep giving you in order for you to be satisfied, so it can shut your mouth to keep you from complaining? What does he got to give you? You're the one. You cried all night long, Lord, just give me a wife. Oh, Lord, please give me a husband. Oh, Lord, give me a good church. And now you got all of that, and all I hear is complaints. He snores too loud. He's not tender. He's not affectionate. I don't know. She's just not what it was. The spark is not there. That's sinful, folks. That's a complaint. And when you complain, you're complaining against heaven itself. You're complaining against God. Because notice, it never said about they complain about the people. They ain't say, Sister Vanessa just eats up all the food, and what little, every now and then a quail will fall out the sky, she eats it all. They never made that complaint. Because God provided the people what they needed. They complain, all complaints against God's church. It's not against Pastor Brown, not against Deacon Richardson. It's not against Deacon Harmon. Not against Deacon Clark, Deacon Newsom. All those complaints that you got about the church, they're complaints against God. You're saying, God, I can't do what you've asked me to do. Deacons, what did God ask you to do? It is God who ordained the office. Verse 23, Sister Randall, would you read? We got to go to church. Verse 23.
And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not.
Remember that Sister Reese read that God is good, but yet he's faithful. God is telling Moses here, do you think I'm limited like you? Do you think there's something I can't do? Do you think there's a need that I can't fulfill? I can do all things. And he's right, because he's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's omniscient. He knows everything, and he's omnipresent. And God reminds Moses here that I don't lack any ability. There's nothing I can't do for you. Whatever I tell you that I'm going to do, it shall come to pass, because I'm faithful. That's why Sister Vanessa could read that. Oh, God is so good. See, we think he's good because he gives us some things. But I think he's good because he's faithful all the time. In my darkest hour, in my weakest moment, God is faithful. And that's what we're going to be talking about. This entire unit is about the faithfulness of God. He's holy, he's righteous, and he's faithful. And he's capable of meeting all your needs. But one piece of advice that I would give you in dealing with God is don't complain. What's that? Oh, I just got a message. I just got a message. Brother Bogan, I just got a message. I'm told to tell you that not only do you not complain to God, be careful how you complain to one another. Because in the end, it's really all about God. You complaining about me, God can take care of me. God can deal with me. You don't have to complain about me. I can be put in check, believe it or not. Sister Vanessa, trust me, Harry can be put in check. You ain't got to complain about it. You got to do what I've always known you to do. That's one thing. There's some things that people should not hear come out of your mouth. And that's a complaint about each other. God bless you. We're going to go to worship now. Worship the one God who is truly good and is truly faithful. See you guys next week. Bless you. Yeah.